sure most of us are enjoying the hot weather. I guess most of the young people are, and looking forward to the holiday camps for this tomorrow and next week. We're very much looking forward to taking you, praying that it will be a time of great blessing. And it's wonderful in the summer, isn't it, to enjoy the good weather. And the good weather comes as a result of God's creation, God's kindness to us in creation. What a reminder that is, that every good thing that we receive is from God. Good food, good weather, sunshine, all these things are a reminder for us, aren't they, of God's kindness towards us. We've just come back from France and we had some very warm weather there, like you've been having here. And we drove quite a long way, but we noticed in quite a few places there were wildfires that had been. Fires that had scorched whole hills, huge great areas that are completely black because of the fires that raged through them and burnt up. Maybe a load of crops, load of trees, caused a tremendous devastation. And I was just thinking about the subject of fire safety. Fire safety. You might remember, some people may remember here, about 5 years ago, in June 2017, there was a terrible fire in London in a tower called the Grenfell Tower, and 71 people died in a 24-storey building. Terrible, terrible thing that was, wasn't it? The fire swept through and engulfed the whole building. So I want us to think about being saved from the fire, how important that is. So I'd like to read firstly two scriptures, but firstly Luke chapter 16, verse 19, page 1250. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, making good cheer in splendor every day. And there was a poor man by name Lazarus, who was laid at his gateway full of sores, and desiring to be filled with the crumbs which fell from the table of the rich man. But the dogs also coming licked at his sores. And it came to pass that the poor man died, and that he was carried away by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, lifting up his eyes, being in torments, he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he, crying out, said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, recollect, thou hast fully received thy good things in thy lifetime, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted here, and thou art in suffering. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm is fixed, so that those who desire to pass hence to you cannot, nor do they who desire to cross over from there pass over unto us. And he said, I beseech thee then, Father, thou wouldst send him to the house of my father, for I have five brothers, so that he may earnestly testify to them, that they also may not come to this place of torment. But Abraham says to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one from the dead should go to them, they will repent. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, not even if one rise from among the dead, will they be persuaded. And then just one last passage in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 14, page 1269. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged, but he that believes not has been already judged, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. A couple of weeks ago, Tim Pond told us the story of how he saved, he and one of his other neighbours, saved an old lady from her house down the road from a fire that had been burning in the kitchen. They helped save her out of that fire, which out of the smoke and the fire, which probably would have killed her if they hadn't gone in and saved her. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how powerful that is, as an illustration of the way that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you, dear friends. I spoke about fire, the destructive power of fire. I've never been in a fire in a building and had to put it out with a fire extinguisher. Maybe some people have. But fire safety is a very, very important thing, isn't it? But both of these passages are the words of Jesus. They are directly the words of Jesus. And that makes them especially powerful. Every word of Scripture is very powerful, but especially powerful are the words of the Lord Jesus himself, because he is God. He is the Son of God. And he told this story for a reason. He told this story to warn us that there are two places after this life that we can go. Now, he tells the story about a rich man and a poor man. That doesn't mean that rich people don't go to heaven, and that doesn't mean that all poor people do go to heaven. It means that this poor man, Lazarus, had trusted in God. He went in to meet Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faithful. He is the beginning of the line of the Jews. He is the man who trusted God in the Old Testament. So into the bosom of Abraham reminds us and speaks to us of heaven. So there are two places that we can go. The rich man lived in a way that many people live today, and perhaps everybody naturally lives in that way today. That doesn't mean that everybody's rich, but everybody, some naturally, we're very selfish, aren't we? Notice how selfish the rich man is. You might know some very selfish people that live just for themselves. They live just for what they think about, what they want to do for themselves, and they don't think about anybody else at all. He was clothed in purple. He wore all the best clothes that you can have. And he was making good cheer in splendor every day. In other words, he was living it up. He was living luxuriously as he possibly could. And right outside his door, there was a man, a poor man, Lazarus, who had nothing to eat. And he even just wanted the crumbs to fall from the table. That doesn't mean that it was wrong for the rich man to be rich. It's just that he was totally selfish and he was living his life his way, and he didn't care about Lazarus and he didn't care about anyone else. And that's naturally what we're like, isn't it? Even though we're not rich, many of us are not rich, we're meant to see a bit of ourselves in this rich man. We're meant to see that this rich man was very selfish. And actually, we can be very selfish as well, can't we, sometimes? Just thinking about ourselves, not thinking about the needs of others. How many poor people there are in the world today. But this isn't about rich versus poor. This isn't about... Mainly what I wanted to highlight about this was that there is a great chasm fixed. Notice that the poor man died and he was carried away by the angels. The angels are spirits. They are God's servants. When a believer dies, they go into the presence of God. And I think the angels are involved here. The angels work for God. They're very, very powerful. And this man was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. In other words, he went to heaven because he trusted in God. He put God first in his life, and he was what we would call a believer. The rich man died and he goes to Hades. And notice that there was a great chasm fixed between the poor man Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man is suffering in this flame in a place called Hades, which will become hell. That's a very serious thing, isn't it, dear friends? And there is a great chasm fixed. And there is a chasm today. Another word for chasm is perhaps a great big divide. We think about divides between people, don't we? We think about divides between people because of their skin colour, where they came from, whether they've got money or whether they haven't, and all of these other things. But actually, none of those things matter. None of the divisions between people because of where they come from or their skin colour or their education or anything like that matters. But what does matter is whether they're born again, whether they truly have a knowledge of God, whether they've been forgiven of their sins, whether they've been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether they haven't. That is the great chasm. But that isn't obvious today, is it? We know that some people are Christians and some people are not. But that's the great divide between those who are saved and those who are not, dear friends. And that's why we have the message of the gospel tonight, so that people can pass over. We can pass over from being unsaved and in our sins and not forgiven, pass over in this life to being washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by being forgiven because of what he has done at Calvary's cross. That we'll come onto that in the next passage in John's Gospel. But this man, the rich man, he was in torments. He was in a place of torments. Jesus spoke words that were true. Every word that Jesus said was true, dear friends. It's a hard message to preach, isn't it? It's a difficult message, but it's in God's words. We will find the truth in God's words. When we read God's word, we find the truth that we need to know to be saved. It's important that we're all saved, dear friends, from the effects of our sin. We've all sinned and we've all gone away from God. We've all disobeyed. We've all told lies. We've all done many, many things that we know are wrong in ourselves. There's a little voice inside of us that the Bible calls our conscience. It's the voice that tells us when we've done something wrong. And I think the Bible tells us that every single person has that conscience. They know that they're a sinner. They know that they have done something wrong before God. Even the very youngest of us, through to the oldest, we all know that we've sinned and are away from God. We deserve nothing but God's judgment. But dear friends, Jesus told this story so that you might not be like this rich man. He told this story so that we might be like the poor man Lazarus, who goes away into the bosom of Abraham, so that we might be forgiven of our sins, so that we might be washed clean from our sins, and so that we might never have to go to this terrible place of torments. There's a description of it, and I don't want to go through it in detail, but the rich man said in verse 24, "Just ask Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm suffering in this flame." It gives you a picture of how terrible it was and is. That's a warning, dear friends. But dear friends, God does not want you to go there. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be washed clean from your sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told this story so that you might be saved, dear friends. And there is a great chasm fixed, but there is not it's possible to pass over even now. It's possible in this life, even today, for you to pass over from death to life. Naturally, because of our sins, we're in a place of death. We deserve nothing but death, eternal death. But the Lord Jesus Christ came in order that you might receive eternal life. And that's the wonderful news of the gospel, dear friends, that every preacher who stands up here week by week, and we don't know how much longer the gospel will go out, every preacher who stands up here is offering you and telling you about the way to eternal life. Eternal life in a place called heaven, but eternal life knowing a full and free forgiveness of our sins, even now, and having a purpose in our life to know how to live for him. The rich man says, "Go and tell my brothers." But the answer is, they've got Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the Bible. What the answer was, they've got the Bible. They can read God's word and they can find the answer in it. And that's the route to blessing, dear friends, to find the answer through coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in John chapter 3, Jesus said, everyone who believes on him, John chapter 3 verse 15, everyone who believes on him may not perish like the rich man, but have life eternal. We have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. We have to believe that he truly is the spotless, holy, sacrificial Lamb of God, and that he went to the cross for us. And he went to the cross on your behalf and on mine. Do you know, dear friends, in your heart that he went to the cross for you? Have you repented before God of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done at Calvary's cross? Do you know that he was there for you? Do you know that he died the death that you deserve to die? Have you repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in what Jesus has done? Jesus said himself, he that believes on him, that's Jesus, is not judged. But he that believes not has been already judged, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the most wonderful, the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world, and he loves the world yet still, that he gave his only begotten Son. God was prepared to send his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless, holy Lamb of God, into this world to die for you and me. There's no greater love, dear friends, that I can tell you about. There's no greater love that anyone can tell you about than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself willingly to go to the cross so that you and I might be saved. So that whoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. Life eternal is when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, and we're given new eternal life in him, which goes on into eternity. It never ends. Recently I heard about the death of an elderly saint, an elderly brother in the Lord, who preached here many times in times past. And I listened to his preaching many times when I was the age of about some of you younger ones, and it had an impact on me. That dear brother called David is now with Jesus. He has eternal life. He had eternal life when he trusted the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. He received eternal life when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he now has a full understanding and enjoyment of that eternal life. Death was not his enemy. Death is the enemy of every unsaved person, but Jesus has defeated the power of the enemy for all those who trust in him. And I remember listening to this brother David, his preaching many years ago, and it has an effect on you, doesn't it? You remember the preaching from many years ago. We do not know how many times the gospel is going to be preached from here. We know that every single time it is preached, it is urgent. Because next week it may not be open. The offer of salvation may not be open to you. How urgent it is that we receive eternal life, no matter how young or old we are. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through him, putting our faith and trust in him and asking for mercy. We read this afternoon about two blind beggars, two blind men who heard that Jesus was passing by. If you were blind in those days, you had absolutely no hope whatsoever. You couldn't earn any money. There weren't any handouts. You were desperately poor and you're in the worst case possible. And what they did is they just called out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, son of David." And that was enough. That was all that they needed to do. They called out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, son of David." and they were healed. They were saved from their sins and they became Christians. They followed him from thereafter. That's what becoming a Christian is. Calling out to God for mercy. Mercy because Jesus has died on the cross. Mercy because he bore the punishment that's rightfully due to you and me. The awfulness and horror of the cross is what God thinks about sin. God hates sin, and the awfulness of the cross was needed because Jesus had to pay the price for us. And for those that trust in him, we are forgiven because of what Jesus has done. It all rests on the work of Jesus. And in that same passage, we learnt that Jesus foretold of his death. He said to his followers, I'm going to be crucified and killed, but I'm going to rise again. That, dear friends, makes all the difference in Christianity. Jesus has broken the power of death because he has risen again. He has risen again and the tomb is empty. The grave is empty and Jesus is risen again and broken the power of death. He has the victory. And as we read as we sung in the hymn, every knee will bow to Jesus. All obey God's own commands. The opportunity in the gospel tonight is to bow to Jesus now, so that we might be saved for time and for eternity. What a wonderful opportunity it is, no matter how young or old we are, to bow before Jesus now and be washed clean from our sins and receive life eternal. May everyone receive the blessing for his name's sake.